I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Wow, we made it. Thank goodness. Sometimes it feels like you're never going to get there, but alas, here we are. So welcome into the show. I'm Charlie Arnold. I'm still in Vegas, obviously, because today is the Power Slap event, the reason that I am out here in the first place. So I have got a full schedule ahead of me after I get done with the show. We've got to get ready for the show. We've got to get into it. We've got early prelims, regular prelims, and then, of course, the main card. And then your girl's on a red eye back to New York City. The grind doesn't stop. It never stops. And that is how we like it. I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to say that. I actually like when the grind stops. I feel like I love to relax. So I'm looking forward to doing a lot of that this weekend. But yesterday morning, I woke up and thought that it was going to be, you know, a rather chill day. And to my surprise, there was some major breaking news that I've got to be honest, a lot of people, frankly, did not know how to feel about. And that was that O.J. Simpson had passed away at age 76 from a battle with cancer. And O.J. was that for years, starting in 1968 when he became USC's second Heisman winner after setting an NCAA record for rushing yards with 1,709 in a single season. He then went on to have 11 record-breaking seasons in the NFL as a running back with the Bills for 9 of those seasons, the 49ers for 2, making him even more endearing. Now then, also let's put on top of that his acting career, which saw him star in TV shows, commercials, all of that occurring since the late 60s, and his starring co-role in the first Naked Gun crime comedy. Especially that one got people really like, okay, O.J. Simpson is the man. This guy's the best. What can he not do? But of course, that was the O.J. Simpson that really took place on one half of his life. That would be the O.J. Simpson it would be great to remember him as. But then, unfortunately, there's a second version of O.J. Simpson. And that is where he is known technically as a double murder suspect, but more so to many as just a double murderer, because it was believed that even though he was ultimately acquitted, that he did in fact kill his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman in 1994. So a lot of things are kind of burned into our memories forever as far as this is concerned. And it's very unfortunate for O.J. Simpson, but one of those being, and gosh, I still remember this, even though I was super young, there was that low speed police chase through LA on the highways that O.J. Simpson and his friend led police on for 2 hours. 2 hours. I remember we were just staring at the screen. We're like, when is this going to end? And that was just 5 days after the killings occurred. And Simpson was in the back seat of the car that was on that police chase for 2 hours on television, threatening to kill himself. And you remember the car. It was a Ford Bronco. And I'm telling you, to this day, I never don't see a Ford Bronco and think, oh, O.J. Simpson. So there's one thing. Better yet, who could forget the 11-month trial that was televised daily with everybody glued to their televisions? Ultimately, again, like I stated, produced a non-guilty verdict in October of 1995. But, oh my gosh, I mean, talk about reality television. We didn't have the Real Housewives back then, but everybody was watching this trial. I mean, you couldn't tear yourselves away. I remember my mom, every single day I'd get home from school, she'd be watching it. I would never watch it with her because, I mean, quite personally, I didn't even understand what the hype was about at that point in my life. But my mother was obsessed, as was everyone else's mothers and, you know, everyone else in their life at that point. So all of this being said, it just leaves a lot to unpack as far as his death and really just emotion-wise, like what you're supposed to feel. And there's a lot of different reactions on social media, one of which being the Heisman Trophy. They put out a tweet mourning him, saying this quote, "The Heisman Trophy Trust mourns the passing of 1968 Heisman Trophy winner O.J. Simpson. We extend our sympathy to his family." So that one is a bit nicer, feels more authentic as far as possibly being sad about his death. But then there are others who are using this opportunity as a moment of comedic relief which I know it's a death, but I totally understand. Like this guy who, in response to the tweet announcing OJ's death from OJ's verified account, saying, quote, "It's up to me now. I will find the real killers." Okay. And then there's just others who are just not even trying to sugarcoat how they feel. This person saying, honestly, if you ignore the whole being a murderer thing, RIP to a true online poster. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No matter how you really feel, there are lots of memories tied to OJ. And like I said before about the Ford Bronco, look at this tweet featuring a Ford Bronco saying, quote, "Thanks for the memories, OJ." Okay. So now to break it all down, let's bring in OutKick contributor Mike Gunzelman. Okay, Mike, first of all, hello.
Hey, what's up? Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Okay, I don't know your age, and I don't want to say it on air because I feel like that's a faux pas. Were you old enough to remember the OJ trial and like all of this going down, or like even just have like memories of like your parents being into it?
Yeah, no. So I definitely remember the, I'm a Knicks fan. So I definitely remember the, obviously the white Bronco and the chase and everything like that. I just didn't know exactly what was going on. Like I knew Nicole Brown Simpson was murdered. And so with Ron and all that, I knew like OJ Simpson, you know, this massive, you know, massive star. I knew him kind of from the Naked Gun movies, but not fully. Like they were maybe like on like Cinemax or something at the time, but like I didn't understand fully what was going on.
Cinemax still exists.
I have no idea.
That was like a scandalous
yeah TV channel. Probably where I may or may not have seen my first rack, to be completely honest.
Honestly, probably the same.
It was either that or like HBO and the blurry lines, you know what I mean? Like
oh yeah, right. You had like the antennas. You're like, let me adjust this and see what we can figure out.
Hey, we're just being honest here. I'm just honest. But I do distinctly remember though, like jumping. I remember I was in elementary school when the verdict came down and they rolled in the TV. They rolled in the TV just for the verdict, which I kind of think is kind of wild because I'm sure if that happened today, parents would be losing their mind over it. But back then, before we had like parents like up in, you know, in an uproar about everything, anything and everything. But I remember all of us just kind of looking at each other like what is like, what's happening? We didn't really fully understand the gory details and the horrificness of it. But clearly since in the decades that have passed, I have really come to understand, you know, just exactly what went down. And like you said, I would almost put it into three acts. I know you kind of put it into two, but I would put it into three acts where, you know, the first act was him as this, you know, this superior athlete where he was just dominant. I mean, you look at the numbers, he was ridiculous. 200-yard rushing games, just so he would be unbelievable. If that was happening today as a running back, he would be, I mean, he was a star back then, but with like social media and with all these deals and stuff, he would be even, it's hard to, because it's been so long, it's hard for the younger audience, the younger demo, the younger sports fan to fully appreciate it because I can barely appreciate just how big he was, but I've done like the research and I've looked back at it. So you have act one to say like, it's his stardom.
Act one, the phenomenal athlete.
Yeah. Act two would be just the, kind of like, the actor, but also, you know, the first athlete to get an endorsement deal into like just the superstardom that was OJ where like, you know, there's stories all day yesterday. We heard about like him going to like the airport and people coming out of like the bars and the restaurants and just shaking his hand and just being like a man of the people, needless to say, where it was just like propelled him into, you know, as an African-American to like just superstardom, one of the most famous like black people, like especially in Hollywood. And then act three is, of course, you know, the horrific murder suspect, whatever you want to say there. But also you got to think after that, the civil case, which he was found guilty for because, you know.
Yeah, when they burst into the store to steal his sports memorabilia, is that what you're referring to?
So it first goes to the murder case, which he gets, which he finds, you know, is innocent on. But then they do the civil case on it and they found him guilty on that. And one of the main reason why they found him guilty on that was not only did they have all the original evidence, which is like the glove and everything and the blood everywhere, et cetera. But people,
there's so many facts about that were like, you did it. Yeah. I mean,
talk about circumstances.
I don't know who was on that jury. It would be interesting to interview them now that he's dead and be like, hey, like, You know, you don't have to worry about anything. Like, why the hell did you come back with a not guilty verdict? Anyways, proceed.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, you look, I mean, the jury was mainly black people that were made up in it. And also, I think the prosecution, I mean, you look at the fumbles that the prosecution did, is just unbelievable. But one of the big things that the prosecutors did here and why he was found guilty for the civil case that people might not remember is, so the big thing was about the shoe print. It was a size 12, and that was OJ's size 12. And it was a Brunei Mali shoe. And OJ had said that they weren't able, they didn't make him testify during the criminal case. But he had said in the civil case, oh, I would never wear that kind of shoe. That shoe is ugly. Well, in the civil case, they were able to find a photo of him from the Buffalo Bills wearing that exact shoe and size just 8 months earlier before the murders. And that's pretty much the final thing that made him be found guilty. But they never brought that up in the criminal case. It's freaking absurd.
Okay,
absurd.
Because also you can't be tried for the same murder twice. So once that was off the table, it wasn't like they could go back and say, okay, wait, never mind, we botched this. Okay, yeah.
And then the third act would acquit, and that would be obviously that. And then also the Vegas thing where he spent years in prison. So it's crazy. It's a complicated, legacy.
Okay, guns. Okay, explain this to me. What's, in terms of a civil case dealing with a murder, what is even, like, what are they trying to achieve there? Like, what?
Well, so what it was, that's the civil cases where that's brought up from the families. And so that's where he ended up being found guilty and and was supposed to pay back all that money, which he was never, half of it is never even be able to be found because they found that he wasn't able to go into his NFL pension for it because of the ruling of it. So he, that's when, that's where he had to sell the Heisman and all that. So a civil case is about damages. So the family was found right on that. But it's just so interesting because the prosecution had all this stuff, and it is, you want a TED talk, or I'm sure there's been college courses about what not to do. You just look at what the LA prosecutors did there. And, this is what happens when they were so worried. And, LA was, the country was very divisive back then, but especially Los Angeles coming off of everything that was going down with the riots and whatnot, that they didn't want, they were pandering to the public and didn't want to seem that they were in lockstep with the LAPD. However, if you're a district attorney and a prosecutor, you have to work with the police. And they were so worried about that and not looking like they were in bed with the LAPD and that they didn't want to come across as, as being, the white, black divisiveness that was going on. But in doing so, they just fumbled everything. And then, of course, OJ had so much money that he was able to, listen, OJ, horrible murderer, but a great person as far as picking lawyers, because he was able to get the goat of all goats as far as a lawyer team that was able to pander and play the perfect.
Was that Robert?
Yeah, Kardashian and Johnny
Robert
Cochran.
Kardashian.
Yeah, Johnny Cochran, obviously, like, the Johnny Cochran right there pretty much propelled himself into a superstardom. He was able to, they were able to change their narrative where instead it was, anytime something would go against OJ, they would be like, yeah, but what about the detective? What about Mark Furman and what he did? Or what about, planting the evidence? And, oh, did you guys really do this? And just able to shift the facts. So for one instance, for example, it's really interesting. LAPD takes a video of everything, of kind of like the crime scene or whatnot. But the video didn't include the bloody socks, okay? So the bloody socks were there, obviously, but they argued in court that the bloody socks were actually planted because they weren't in this video. However, the video was taken after that had kind of been removed already, but they had put in the doubt that, it was taken beforehand. So it was just, it doesn't sound like it could happen today, but you got to realize you're dealing with 1995 and it just played upon emotions and the reasonable quote unquote doubt in a very,
oh my God,
very tumultuous time. I can tell you this. Could you imagine if like True Stories, a true crime podcast and these internet sleuths and all this stuff was around like it was today?
Yeah. Well, and also you just look at someone like, okay, so just even from the very beginning, he tried to flee to Mexico less than a week after it happened. Okay. No one does that if you are truly grieving. B, you don't write a like suicide note either. I mean, it's just all these things that point to him having done it. I mean, even the low speed police chase. I mean, there are so many things that I just feel like any reasonable person, this was like reasonable doubt, fine. But you look at it and be like, oh no, they did it. Let's just figure out how to pin them and make this all go away. But of course, you know, it was also OJ Simpson. Like I said, even though he was thrust into this really negative spotlight, there were a lot of people who loved OJ Simpson. Like, I'm trying to think of someone these days who's just so beloved that if they were to commit a crime like this, people would be like, I'm sorry. Like, I understand that like all the evidence is there, but no chance that he did it. Like, this is just no way. It's blank.
Which is why I think it's been kind of weird, to be completely honest, where it was just like, sure, technically he's quote unquote innocent, but we all know OJ, you know, for this, that third act of his life. So it seemed like he almost became like a meme of himself in his later years, especially, you know, he was going to release the book. Oh, like if I did it, like, wait, what, bro? Like, what are you talking about?
Wait, did you know what I just read, Guns? I just read in the final days leading up to his death, I guess he was probably on copious amounts of drugs. You know what I mean? Like dealing with the cancer. They probably realized he was on his way out and they wanted him to feel at ease and no pain. He had all of his visitors sign, and even including doctors, sign an NDA to come visit him. And I can bet it's because he and anyone who was representing him or still had his back at this point were like, you might confess. And if you do, we need to make sure there is an NDA in place so that no one can take this and like completely tarnish your legacy after you die, even though at that point it would amount to nothing. But for sure, right?
Could you imagine? Yeah, that is
that would actually be epic if he confessed to it, like right, like as he was going, because that would just be like the cherry on top of what was a completely bizarre story for the past two decades.
And the fact that he didn't, like, I bet you so many people were just hoping, oh, he'll say it on his deathbed.
Three decades.
And he didn't say it. So, like, you know, you truly do feel awful for the families there, which is why yesterday when the Biden White House and that press secretary that is supposed to rep Biden and speak for the country and the administration came out and said, you know, that the thoughts and prayers are with, you know, with OJ's family, never mentioned the Goldmans or the Brown family, was very kind of just weird, a weird thing that she would bring up, you know, the thoughts are with Simpson and the Simpson family and the family there, but not the actual murder victims.
Yeah.
It's a complicated, you know, the legacy goes beyond just, you know, just that, just the criminal case in general, because this did really launch like your court TV and kind of like propelled the whole, almost like that reality TV obsession that kind of came in. The fact that you had Super Bowl type numbers, 90 plus million people watching this car chase, and it really launched like kind of like those 24-hour news networks where all of a sudden like you did realize there are Nancy Graces and everything, where it's like people I guess had some sort of obsession with this. Yeah,
and it was during daytime TV. It wasn't like it was prime time where everybody was gathered around their couch or, you know, post dinner. I mean, this was, people were so intent on watching it. They would rush home from whatever they were doing. Like I told, my mom was a teacher, so she got off at 2 something, 3 p.m. every day. And that was her first move, park herself in front of the TV. And I'd be like, mom, she'd be like, don't talk to me. I've got to watch OJ.
And then SNL, when SNL was actually kind of funny back in the day, like they'd have like,
I don't remember SNL from these days at all. I didn't even know it existed back in these days.
But like I've gone back, like Judge Lance Ito, they were making fun of him and just like, just all the different, there's so many different characters that were involved and like personalities that were just involved that were on the, that were just on the stand. And the fact that like, isn't it weird though? Like we're like kind of making fun of it, but it's a complicated and a bizarre situation.
Well, that's why I was saying people don't know how to feel. You know, the news came down and I was like, am I supposed to be sad? Like I didn't even tweet about it because this was like right at the beginning. And I was like wanting to say something like kind of snarky. Like my big thing I wanted to say was, I wonder how Khloe Kardashian is feeling. But then I was like, that feels kind of bitchy and like insensitive, obviously a joke because a lot of people claim that Chloe is OJ's son and that her wife, her mother had an affair with him because she looks nothing like
allegedly,
her.
Allegedly.
Massive. So, you know, anyways, Guns, let's move on because we only have a couple more minutes and I want to get your take on what's going on with Jake Paul. I'm in Vegas, obviously, and I just had a Uber driver yesterday who has lived in Vegas for such a long time. Huge Mike Tyson fan. Used to actually, she told me, work out at the same gym that Mike Tyson worked out. Not his boxing gym, but just his normal gym. And she was like, what do you think is going to happen? I think Mike Tyson is going to win. And I was like, well, I don't know. You know, a lot of people are saying different things about this fight. But the fact is, people are coming around to the idea that it actually is happening, which is great, because for a while people were like, no way, no chance this is actually going to go down. But Jake Paul, in fact, wanted to take the time to address that same subject earlier on in the week. So let's listen to him.
There's a lot of controversy over how real this is going to be. What's the truth?
Yeah, man, it's so annoying that people on the internet will believe anything they see or hear. There's been so much misinformation. I mean, we know this more than anyone on Fox News. And Mike and I want this to be a pro fight, full face shots. We're submitting that request to the commission. It's an all-out war. There's been all these fake videos about not being able to hit each other, big gloves, all of that stuff. And it's all, as Trump would say, fake news.
Okay, Guns. Well, it's already set in stone, July 20th. It's happening in Vegas. So now he's just talking about the details of it. He wants full face shots. This guy is fearless. I got to say, Jake Paul, as obnoxious as he can be, he is turning into like quite the stud. And I got to respect the lack of fear in him. I mean, full face shots. I don't want Mike Tyson anywhere near my face. You definitely won't see me on this show if he is.
Let's not clip that. Let's not clip that, please.
Maybe we should clip that.
Maybe we should, right? We've got
Mike Tyson's hands.
Yeah. It's
Mike Tyson's hands anywhere near my face.
Let's go. No, listen, I hope they don't wear headgear. I mean, I understand why you would want it. You know, Mike Tyson is 57 years old. Jake Paul says, you know, they are submitting it to the, you know, to the commission. That doesn't guarantee that the commission's going to say yes. Mike Tyson's in tremendous shape. Okay. And there are a lot of people, there's so many people that what you're seeing right now is, and especially on the internet, and everything, there's an active movement going against Jake Paul. They you have the OGs, the holier than thous, those that have been a part of boxing for decades now, that see Jake Paul as a rising threat. Okay. They see him as a massive threat. So they're going to try and tarnish and dismiss anything that he's going to try and do. The thing is, he's been able to really overcome a lot of this, and they're frankly jealous. They're jealous and they're angry, and they don't want things to happen the way that they're supposed to happen. So that's why there's a lot of, as Jake said, fake news going down. We do have to see what the commission's going to say. If they wear the headgear could be a little rough, because that means you're probably not going to get a knockout. And I truly think, and I don't think Netflix wants there to be headgear either, because this is going to do numbers. But if they're wearing 18-ounce, you know, gloves that look like freaking balloons, like pillowcases, and then also headgear, that's going to hurt the credibility of this fight tremendously. I hope they don't do it, because here's the deal. Mike, you know, Tyson is Tyson. Of course, you know, he is 57 and whatnot. He is in great shape. But if he gets clocked a little bit, it's Mike effing Tyson. He's going to snap. Because you don't just forget about, he's going to go into his fight, like, I just got clocked. Like, he's going to go nuts. Yeah. And that's what we want. That's the only thing that we can hope for to make this a fight. Jake might catch him a little bit, and Tyson's just going to go insane and, like, go back to when he's 22 years old and just start. It's going to be nuts. I really hope that it goes down the way that it should go down. It's also important to say that the word exhibition doesn't mean that the exhibition, there's no set rules for what an exhibition has to be. So even though it's an exhibition, that just means like it won't count towards a specific record or anything like that. But it doesn't mean that there has to be headgear just because it's an exhibition.
Yeah. Okay, finally, yes. Before I let you go, Guns, President Trump was personally invited by Jake Paul to attend the fight, which is awesome because, as we know, in the past, Trump has been a huge follower of Mike Tyson. And Trump is like the star of the combat world. Like, if you have a fight in Vegas, you need Trump to be sitting right there, ringside, octagon side. Like, it's just a must. And I love that Jake Paul is now leaning into this. Like, Donald Trump, if you're listening, which, you know, I'm sure he's paying attention, obviously. He's like, you know, I want you to be there. I know you used to promote Tyson, so I'd love to have you at the fight. Vivek came to my other fight. And of course, the Silver Fox, Baron Trump. So Donnie, pull up. We've got tickets for you.
Smart move by, smart move by Jake here. As you mentioned, you know, Trump has been forefront of UFC in various events. He is a Tyson fan, but especially because, so Jake's playing into the whole, a lot of the combat world supports Trump, you know, that he's at the MMA events, everything like that. But also, Jake Paul makes a ton of money. And he realizes how much better off he would do if Trump was in office, perhaps, than Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because he also lives in California, taxes and just things like that. So Jake isn't a fool here when it comes to looking out for his bottom line in the future either. And the different adventure, you know, he's an entrepreneur. He's got money everywhere tied up in different legacies and different things that he's promoting. So there is definitely a personal connection here, as well as one that is playing to the combat fight world. So it's a smart move by Jake Paul here. You know, he wants all eyes. He's not trying to be divisive right now. If he was going to go against Trump right before this kind of thing, he'd look he's not that much of an idiot. He might be an idiot. He might be annoying. He might be, some people might just can't stand him. Maybe a heel at times, for sure. I'm not a huge, huge Jake Paul fan, but he's not an idiot when it comes down to the bottom line and making that money and hyping up fights.
Totally with you on that page. All right, Guns. Well, that is all the time we have, but I thoroughly enjoyed our OJ conversation. Like,
it's fascinating, right?
I feel like I could do a deep dive, and I really do hope there's maybe a true crime episode, maybe more of a modernized version that comes out looking at all of the different angles, even though, you know, we're so far past it. It would be interesting. So thank you for getting that with me.
If you go back through those, I'll tell you, when people seem to forget a lot of the, the shoe stuff, and then this question about the son ended up getting attorney the day after. Yeah. Well, why did OJ, you know, those questions, were the son involved? And were there two people, the son, like, it is, you know, it's a wormhole. Jump into it this weekend, everybody. Tweet us. Let us know what you think, because some of the facts are wild that if you really go back and look at them. So,
all right, Guns. Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
Enjoy Vegas. All right.
Thank you.
$20 on black for me. There we go.
Speaking of, I did just win $400 on the slot machines last night. So I'm a little bit proud of myself there. $400 is not bad, guys. I will take it. Now, something occurred a little over 4 years ago, our little lockdown, our COVID pandemic. Oh, we all remember it. There were some lows. There were also some highs. I would say a high was definitely the Tiger King documentary on Netflix. Everybody was talking about it. In fact, I'm not even sure it would have gotten nearly as much publicity if we all weren't stuck at home with literally nothing to do for months on end. But anyways, you probably watched it like everyone else. And the main character of the show, the Tiger King himself, Joe Exotic, he's currently serving a 21-year sentence for trying to hire hitmen to kill his nemesis, Carol Baskin. This interview was one I never saw coming. It was not on my 2024 bingo card, but I had a chance to catch up with the Tiger King for a look at his life behind bars. Here it is.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I think most of the country, if not the world, is familiar with you, especially, you know, you became really a star a rising star during the pandemic when everybody had so much time on their hands and was able to sit at home and really take the time to watch what you were up to in your entire documentary. So, you know, what's it like having this celebrity that you've had to live up to for so many years now?
Well, it has its ups and its downs. Okay. My ups is this is the first time that I've been able to video chat or talk to anybody in over 2 years on a telephone. So, people from Australia and Bulgaria and Scotland and Iceland and everywhere else are calling me here. And I'm like ecstatic that I'm really that popular because I've never seen anything on the outside world. You know what I'm saying? Because I've always been locked up since this whole thing started. But the other thing is the downside is I can't do two at once. The downside is that Netflix did this to me in order to make a movie and they didn't portray me right, the whole story was never told according to what I've heard and what people have told me.
What's it like being in jail?
Well, you know what? All I have to say is President Biden needs to pull his head out of his butt, okay? Because, look, America is no better than Russia, okay? If you look at Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan and Trevor Reed, anytime they were in court, they were in street clothes. They were never belly chained or shackled, okay? And they just had handcuffs on. And we're bitching that Russia is so bad. When you look at somebody in an American courtroom, we're in orange jumpsuits with belly chains on, shackled to our feet, and our hands tied to our bellies. And we look guilty from the minute we walk in the courtroom, whether we're on trial yet or not. And that's the problem I have, is our American politicians, they need to do something about our system. Our system is so ass corrupt. I have evidence from inside, and that's no secret. You know, I got caught with a cell phone. I had a cell phone for a couple of years in prison.
You had a cell phone? How did you manage to keep that hidden?
The guards sell them to you for $3,000 a piece.
$3,000? Wow, that's a nice payday for a correctional officer.
Yeah, they go to Walmart and they buy them for $100 and they sell them to the inmates for $3,000. But you would never believe the mold, the algae and the leaking roofs, and you wouldn't. And when they lock you in solitary, and I have been in solitary for 2 years and 8 months of my sentence, when they lock you into solitary, you cannot shave, you cannot brush your teeth properly, you cannot take care of yourself. It's crazy what America does to our citizens.
Now, I know, Joe, that you've been keeping a pulse on some of the things that are happening in the outside world. Like, for example, I know that Jordan Travis, the quarterback for Florida State at one point, was trying to use the Tiger King moniker to refer to himself, and you just were not happy about that. How did that end up getting settled, or did you ever get anywhere with that? You do know that he got injured for the season, though, so.
Get it settled. You know, he quit using it. I just am tired of being exploited for profit from people because I never got a dime from Netflix.
You never got a dime?
Not a dime. My husband ran off with everything because he signed the contract.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't put a dime on my books. And the whole time I've been here and before we got a divorce, no, he left with every dime that he got from Netflix. And he sold all my clothes to a museum in Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess there's a reason why he's your ex, right?
Greed?
Yeah, greed sounds about right.
But you know, with Jordan Travis, it's just like the Burrows, the quarterback, Joe Burrows, you know, he tried to use the Tiger King thing. And I'm just tired of being exploited because I'm a human being. I'm not an object. And I worked my entire life to be Joe Exotic and do good. I took care of sick little kids. I granted last wishes. I opened a zoo for free on holidays. I cooked dinner for the homeless. I did everything I could to do everything right, the way I was raised. And since I've been arrested, everybody has made a buck, and nobody puts a dime on my commissary or helps me pay lawyers. So when Jordan Travis pulled that, yeah, I was like, you know what? I'll spend $450 and file a copyright trademark infringement suit against you if this is the way it wants to be. You know, and then when he got hurt, I sent out a get well message and called a true secret using my name, and we called it a good day.
Okay. Well, at least that was, you know, settled on good terms. What about Joe Burrow? What's your relationship like with him? Because I saw at one point you had written a letter to him, you know, talking about maybe there was at some point his ability to maybe help you out a bit, maybe make some type of donation in a sense. Did that ever come to fruition?
Never heard back from him. Never heard a word from him. So I kind of just gave up. You know, people that are wealthy will always stay wealthy, and people that are broke will always help people that are broke. That's the way that I've discovered life, you know. People that have nothing will give you the shirt off of their back to help you out, and people that that can help you don't. And that's the same way with Kim Kardashian. I've reached out to her 5 or 6 times. You know, if she wants to advocate for prison reform, I have the proof of what needs to be reformed in photographs and videos, okay? And there are more black, brown, and poor white people in here that we need to help. Mm-hmm. And if Kim really wants to change something, she needs to join forces with me and pick up one call and to Biden and say, look at the evidence of this man. We need to get him out, and we need to do something for prison and justice reform before you're voted out of office in November. Because my goal is to testify in front of Congress about prison and justice reform. That's my goal.
Well, what do you think about Joe Biden? Like, I don't know your ability to follow politics so closely, but have you been following what he's been up to versus, you know, more than likely who will be the or who is the Republican nominee, you know, Donald Trump?
I'm real up on Donald Trump's case. I'm real up on Joe Biden, President Biden, everything that he's doing. You know, he's just got, like I said, he's got his head in his ass. He's more interested in naming a National Transgender Day on Easter than he is trying to fix something. And we need to get our priorities straight, and we need to get what he promised. Him and Kamala Harris stood on that stage in front of all them cars honking and flashing their lights that night before the election and promised prison and justice reform, and he hasn't done a damn thing other than pardon a bunch of people for marijuana that weren't even in jail.
Yeah, unfortunately, Joe Biden has made a lot of promises that he hasn't followed through with, so that being just one of them.
Absolutely. You know, will Trump, you know, 91 felony indictments? That's a little stretch, isn't it? But that's how the federal government works. I started with one charge, and when I asked for a trial, they superseded me with 20 more. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's not about justice. It's about we got to convict you, okay? It don't matter what it's going to take, we got to convict you.
Absolutely.
Are they going to let Trump off? I seriously think out of 91 charges, they're going to convict that man of something, or they wouldn't be doing this, okay? Can he get out of it? God, I hope so. Will he change anything if he gets in office? You know, all he could do was scream lock her up for the first year during his 2016 campaign, and then he got soft when he got become president and didn't follow through on it. Will he follow through this time and clean house? The FBI needs to just be gone. They're the crookedest bastards on the planet, along with the Bureau of Prisons. I've never seen such corruption as I have in the Bureau of Prisons.
So
these people come to work with an empty backpack, and they leave with it weighing 140 pounds.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. So you have had, I mean, your fair share of experiences with the amount of time you served so far. Joe, I heard that you at one point were your cell was nearby or right next to Ted Kaczynski's. Is that correct?
I spent 5 months next to Ted Kaczynski. Yes, ma'am.
What was he like?
You know what? He was very, very old and very sick. We were fighting cancer together. They would put boards between his legs and chain him to a wheelchair and six guards would take him to go get cancer treatment.
Wow.
He used the phone every night at 7:30 before I did, and I got to use the phone after he did. Very respectable man. I can't believe he hung himself and killed himself after serving this much time, you know. But everybody has their way out, you know. Have I considered it? Hell yeah, I'm not going to give the government 11 more years of my life like this. If I don't win my appeal, I'm going to have to weigh my options. I'll be damned if I let the government feed me food that says not for human consumption and it's been expired for over a year.
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't come to that, but I do want to ask how your own battle with cancer is going. I know you were battling one form, and now you're battling another form of cancer?
I did a year of prostate cancer, puking every day, bleeding every day, and I got it in remission. My counts were slowly going back up, which is not a good thing, so we're hoping it's not coming back. But I went through chest x-rays in October, CAT scans in January. I did a PET scan right before I came here, and they think that I have cancer in my lower left lobe of my left lung, yeah.
Well, I wish you nothing but a speedy recovery as far as that's concerned. Another question I have for you as far as spending time. Do you have access, Joe, to social media and like email and all of that type of stuff? Because I saw you followed me on Instagram and I wasn't sure if that was you or someone on your team. I didn't know if you had access to social media.
You know, it depends on how many cell phones are available in the prison at what time. So you never know when it's me and when it's not.
That's amazing.
That's all I can say without getting put in the hole.
That's totally fine. That answer is totally acceptable.
But I appreciate you giving me a voice. I really do. And tell all of my supporters that I love them all around the world.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
I mean, Joe Exotic, I have no words. I never in my life, 4 years ago, sitting watching that documentary, imagined I would be talking to him on the phone from jail. The guy had plenty of things to say, a lot of them a bit off the wall, including the fact that he said America is no better than Russia. Obviously, we know that's not true, especially in terms of the prison that he's living in. I think he was just bragging like days before the interview about how good the food was at the prison or the jail that he was serving time in currently. I don't think the food is that good in Russia in their prison system. I'm unaware, but maybe we could do a taste test one day just to confirm. Anyways, guys, that was a fun show. Thank you so much for being here. It's been an absolute pleasure as always. Now time to go kill this Friday. Have a fantastic weekend. In the meantime, before we get to Monday's show, follow me on social media at Charlie on TV. Go have yourselves a fabulous day, and I will see you in a couple of days. Watch Power Slap tonight.